Well, boys, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we last spoke 5 months ago, you're both now shopkeepers. You're the money launderers, are you now, you two? Is that what you...
A lot of the people we spoke to were talking about being inclusive. It happens more. Mm.
We've got more hairdressing techniques than the hairdressers got barbering techniques.
Yes. Well, like, it's that whole thing about hair has no gender, that kind of campaign, you know, a couple of years ago. It's like, I had long hair, like we were saying earlier. 15 years ago, I'd have to go to a hairdresser to get that cut. I wouldn't be able to go to a barbershop, right? So it's like, it's that kind of thing.
Was that a haircut, was it?
Yeah.
The older guys, and they just come in for a bald head and a steam.
Yeah.
Just because it relaxes them.
You told me you wasn't going to say that.
No, but it's just talking about me, and the steam, but that's it.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi there. Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and I am here today in Bellingham. I'm here with Iron Blade Cut in Blade Cuts in Bellingham.
Yes.
Thanks very much, bud.
Great to be here. Mate. Thank you.
Mate. And joined by Sid the Barber. Travelling all the way up from Guildford and his new shop. Well, boys, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we last spoke 5 months ago, you're both now shopkeepers.
Yeah, you've got your own buildings, your own place, your own thing.
World changed a bit.
Yeah.
No, definitely, man. Definitely. It's been refreshing, man. Been refreshing.
Stressful as well.
Yeah, well, definitely stressful. Definitely stressful, but I feel like it was definitely the next progression level. You know what I mean? I feel like, I've done everything from education to, you know, competition and gathering all those experiences, different barbershops all over London and, finally getting my own place. And, man, it's exciting, man. It's been really exciting to be able to do what you want to do, your creativity, your energy. Yeah, man, it's big. It's big.
Well done.
It's big.
Yeah, same for me, really.
You agree with that?
Yeah, completely. Like, I was very hesitant to do it because I didn't want to be too grounded in what I'm doing, you know. Yeah. Like, I like going to the shows and doing things like that. But it hasn't really affected it too much. And actually, like, now I'm grounded, it's actually quite a nice feeling, you know, like knowing it's like, say it's my own shop, I can do what I want to do, do my hours, have the shop how I want it. But it's been good. Had a few ups and downs, obviously, like getting people in the shop and that kind of thing. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
Cool. Well, let's go through it a little bit. I mean, I know the amount of conversations I have with people about, I'm going to open up my own shop, I'm going to open up a big chain, I'm going to have a franchise, I'm going to... You know, everyone certainly at the start of their career has this real huge focus of what this gambit's going to be. And it always seems to be around bricks and mortar shops.
Yeah.
Whereas, greatest respect to both of you, you've taken your time.
Yeah,
the journey has been worthwhile.
No, definitely. I agree with you fully. And it feels like I've got all those experiences from the last 30 years and now you've been able to implement them in your own business. And you kind of feel like you know what works for you that don't work for you. You know, you don't have to have those experiences in shop. Because I believe that if I had a shop from before, I wouldn't have been able to have the freedom to do all the stuff that I did. You know, been able to go back to education, been able to put time into, you know, even the social media, the shows, the competitions, it's all time. And if you've got a business, I think if you have a business early, it's harder to kind of get that balance in a sense, you know what I mean? And I feel like it was easier for me to do it that way. In a way, I feel like I've kind of done it backwards, you know, where you've done the social media, you've done the competition, you've done the education, and now you're going back to do the business side of it.
All those pieces are finally coming together.
I think I could have done it 10 years ago, perhaps, but it wouldn't be what it is now. Like, 10 years ago, I'd be turning certain customers away from the shop. I wouldn't be able to cut their hair. Yes. Like, I wouldn't be able to go to the salon and all that kind of stuff. So I think, for me, it was the right time. I mean, my girlfriend was the one that kind of forced me into it and said, come on, let's do it. It's time. It's nice that I can cut, anyone can come in my shop. Man, woman, doesn't matter who they are, and they get a haircut. So it's like, and I think that comes with confidence for experience, not, you know, being in the industry for a year and then just opening your own shop.
Yeah.
No, definitely, definitely.
But you came from, you were prior, you were in a studio.
Yes.
Working on your own.
Yes.
And you were running a Jack's outlet in...
Jack's of London in Guildford.
In Guildford.
Yeah.
So both come at it from different angles. How does shopkeeper studio...
It was actually... It was studio / shop, actually. Because I was actually at CB Kenley's for 2 days. And then I was running my own studio for 3 days. And if I be honest, it was a nice balance then because I had the balance of the barbershop and the balance of the studio. And I would never want to take away the energy from the barbershop because I feel like the studio's nice. You've got your own private clientele and it works. It does work, but I don't think it's like the barbershop energy.
What's the next step in a yes. studio kind of thing?
Yeah, I feel like the studio kind of keeps you stuck. And yes, you can do your own thing in a sense, make your own kind of ambiance, but you lose that barbershop energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I feel. And if you want...
And that's where the buzz comes from, like, a party, isn't it? Like, I think so. You're jumping in other people's conversations that. And things that's like it. That. That's what it's about, isn't it? Community.
Yeah, like, community. I feel that's the best part of barbering. I feel like a lot of people don't think about that. They think about, oh, just the haircuts and, you know, but really, is it really just the haircuts?
Well, I think most people, if they've got your own studio, you're keeping all the money, essentially, aren't you? You're paying lower rent, you're keeping all the money. You're thinking, I could do less work. Essentially, you know, you're not giving a bigger percentage away to a shop.
No, you're not. And so, I agree with you. You're going to make your own money.
But the short term is you're going to make some big money, but then the long term is...
For an older barber,
yeah,
I don't think it's... I'm not saying it ain't feasible because you're still going to make your money, but you lose a lot. And but it's better for an older barber with customers in a sense, and it's been through the game.
Well, yeah. I think I mean, if you're racked out and you can open up your studio, do 2 weeks solid, do all your clients, and then you can go off and do Fashion Week or go and do comedy. You
know, it works.
Then it works if you're established.
Yeah,
I always find young barbers who have learned to cut hair to some degree. Who then kind of completely miss out on the whole being a barber experience.
I don't know
if you're making money. If you're doing free haircuts in the shed.
I agree with you.
You're keeping 100% of free haircuts.
I don't know how they got the confidence. My friendship was 4 years. And even after 4 years, I wasn't confident.
No,
I'd be nervous about who's coming in still. And it's the same thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel
2 years in. I wouldn't feel confident to have a shot.
I haven't said that to Nat. China Cuts, love to you, girl. But I even said that to her. Like 5 years in, and she's a very good barber, like very, very good barber, but there's still aspects that she don't want to tackle, she don't want to do. And that's because she's not done that next 5 years. You know, that it's because it's that 10-year.
Well, it's
you
not
know
where
just... you've kind of got some barbers that you've tried everything. And I'm not saying that you're the best, but you've experienced it all.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like once you've experienced it all, like different hair types, different kind of experiences in the barbershop, it happens again, you know how to deal with it because you've already experienced it.
You can take that outside of a hair cutting point, just customer service. Do you know what I mean? I see a lot of kids coming through and they've got no customers. They can cut hair really well, but they don't have to talk to a customer.
Exactly.
And
then it's weird. I think it's almost, I mean, hey, I'm not sure, but I think it kind of comes back to this thought process that when I was a kid, you know, the barbers were... You got what the barber gave you. The barber had a set of haircuts.
Yeah.
And you went to the same barber that your dad went to. And you came away with a haircut you really wished you didn't have in the hope that it'd grow out. If you're going in a studio with someone who's only partially trained, they're only selling what they sell. So you're going to get what they give you.
That's it.
Rather than
the full kind of experience.
Yeah. But you were managing. How's the difference from me managing someone else's shop and
good and
yours?
Bad. So the good is I get to say what I say. You know, like there's a lot of things previously that I thought could have been better in the other shop, but they didn't want to implement it, and you know I have no say in that. So now I can implement that in my shop. I suppose some of the struggles is getting barbers. You know, I put messages on Indeed, Instagram, Facebook. And I'm getting barbers from abroad and further afield kind of thing, which I can't, you know, hire them. So it was a struggle getting barbers, I think, was the biggest struggle. But, you know, we've got someone now, so that's been pretty good. But, employment, I think, has been quite difficult for me.
Is this the first time you've had other barbers?
This is the first. Yep, this is the first time I've had an apprentice. It's the first time I'm gonna. Yeah.
And when you're fully booked all day, cutting hair every day, going home, doing all the paperwork, finding the time and a family, finding the time to then
definitely,
message people back, and then actually go through what they, their portfolio. Are they good? Are they going to be good in my shop? Are they going to fit? That kind of thing. So it's taken me a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's luckily Diligence Tom. He's the guy that got me my new barber. So a little shout out to him.
Excellent. I think the stress factor is something that always comes up. But I think it's nice, both of you talking to you before we started here. You're really enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm 100%. It's been weird because, as I said, we was talking earlier and I said I was stressing out the whole of that week before we opened up. And then as soon as we opened up and, two a week went in, just busy, second, third, and it just continued. And I just settled in so quickly. And I was just like it was one of the days and I was like, why was I stressing about it? Yeah. This has just gone so smoothly. And every day it's exciting. I want to know someone else who's coming in, new clients that come in every day. I've got this old guy that comes in, this European guy that comes in. He works in Harrods in Lewisham. In West somewhere. But he actually brought me that Teddy the other day. So he brought me that Teddy literally about a few weeks ago. He came in here over the weekend and we was having a good old chitter-chatter. And, he went to these other guys over there and he weren't happy with the cut, whatever. He came anyway and I cut him. But he's, I think, mid-60s. But he works around a lot of 20 and 30-year-old girls in Harrods. Right. What I mean? So he's come and he's got his hair cut. He's gone back to work and he's come back. This is the second time he's come and he's just gone, So I went into work and, all the girls, they all loved my haircut. And, it gave me so much attention. So I thought, I'm back here again, And I was in stitches. He said, look, I just brought you a Teddy to, say thank you. And I was just like, oh, no, I love for that. I really appreciate it. And that's what I've been getting, a lot of the community. And again, I feel like I missed that so much. And now that it's been building every day, you're getting Adam Youngbuck that I cut, I think, on Sunday. And he's only like about 15 or whatever. He wanted a shape up. And I don't really do shape ups. Like, I hate them, if I'll be honest. Right. So it's like I don't have a price range.
The time frame?
Even really a time frame. It's actually minute. It's not really a lot of work at all. But I just don't see the point of it. I just feel like, just get a haircut. Like, why am I going to do a shape up? But anyway, we have a lot of, I would just say, shape up the tenor. I don't care what age you are, to kind of deter people away from it, in a sense. Yeah. So he's like 15 or whatever, and he goes, oh, what, it's still £10 for a shape up? He can't help me. And I've gone, just give me a fiver. And then I've shaped him up, and he's leaving and he's still dropped the tenner on me. And I'm just saying, you sure? I said, give me a fiver. And he's just like, nah, man, come on, man. You always look after me. And just before you guys come in here, he's come in just to say hello. Cheers, nice. Mate, man. I appreciate
you. I think that's the big bit of it. You're in that community again, aren't you? And that's something that
you can out offer that discount where previously you probably couldn't do that.
No, and this is it. And this is it, because I'm the boss now, And I feel like, for me personally, I was one of those kids that was always running down a sharp haircut and couldn't get it, mum, can you give me one? My mum's like, no, you're not going to. And then I'd have to mess around one of my mates and he'll just mess me up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I've always had a little soft spot for the kids and just like.
And it's the next generation if they're living
around
here as well.
I've only got a fiver, uncle, help me out, And I'm just like, oh, come on, I'll just sort you out, And for the kids, I've always had that thing for the future and try to help them out and, just get, because I want to see kids look sharp too. Like us,
You've got
what
5 minutes, you can.
Yeah, and that's it. It's not going to be,
You're fully booked every day.
And that's it.
You have to pass it on to one of the other boys.
You've both gone for a bit of heritage though, because, you're saying, when you were a kid, you used to buy your sweets up the road there. Oh, you came past this shop many times when you were in Nipper with your mum.
All the time, yes.
You've
Well, your my place, shop's on my doorstep.
Is where you previously
worked.
Off.
Yeah. So I previously worked there. Well, I was there for 4 years. I mean, it's pretty much the place I learned barbering. Before that, I was working in a barbershop before that. And then before that, I was hairdressing for 10 years. So it is kind of the barbershop that I learned a lot of my skills in anyway. And then taking it over now as my own is really nice. And obviously, like, I got a lot of clients that didn't follow me to Jack's because it'd be like old boys that live, you know, three doors down kind of thing. They're not that bothered who cuts their hair. It's just an easy haircut. And it's nice to get them back in the shop. It's also nice, you know, it's back in the community. And, you know, I live one road from my shop, so it literally is like where I grew up.
Where you grew up.
Yeah, so I know all my school friends live around there and I know all the people in the shops and stuff. So it's and they've been, you know, big support as well. So,
I think that's it, isn't it? When you've got a bricks and mortar and you've got your name above it and all that kind of stuff, it you have that sense of belonging. But then comes this kind of centre of something.
No,
you feel like
definitely, you're,
you know, the kind of hub of the wheel.
Yeah, definitely.
And you get that buzz, that energy, and you get to make more decisions.
Yeah.
So should we dip into the negative, the stressful side of it? What have you found most?
What's so most stressful?
How's your landlords? How's the
channel? Landlord's great.
You know what?
My landlord's
good.
He's good, yeah. No, that side ain't been too bad. If I be honest, but I had pre-experience with it in a sense.
Right.
So I feel like even before I got this business up and running, I was doing numbers and we've been doing, like me and my girlfriend, we've been doing numbers for about, I would say for the last year, but the start of the year, it really started to come into play. I actually built a business plan for this business from scratch.
Yeah.
You know,
Very few people do that, right?
And that's like even my guy, like big up Manos, CB Kedley again, and shout outs for Manos because I was working for Manos, he's my boss. And when I told him, look, I want to start my, he only had nothing but help.
Nice,
that's lovely,
100%. And I always say he's kind of how I want to be a boss. You know, I want to help my barbers to, you know, kind of elevate. Mm. And not that, you know, you're leaving my shop and I'm like, you know, I'm upset that you're leaving. No, I want to help you to elevate, to, you know, push you where you want to go. And that's all he did for me.
But you were there a while.
I was there for about six, seven years.
Yeah, exactly,
I'm part of the furniture in the shop.
I think if you employ someone for a year and they leave, it might be a little bit more.
But he definitely helps me.
And
he kind of showed me a lot of the do's and the don'ts and the, you know, this way. And he didn't build a business plan. I just took the information from what he's learned and tried to implement it and what I implemented. And like what I said, I built the business plan from scratch and it all went through and, you know, numbers went through, everything went through. And yeah, it took me four solid months to actually build that business plan and to get this up and running and, you know, to make it actually work. And but it was, I remember the start of the year, I was saying to myself, I don't know if I can even do this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting this experiences, getting that ChatGPT helping me out a lot with it and literally getting it all together. But it took me about a good 4 months to build that plan and get it ready. But it was something I dreamt of.
Yeah.
You know, I've dreamt of having.
But that's
my
the
own
bit
place.
When you do it; it's suddenly coming alive out of your head.
Yeah,
you
know? Definitely. And it's
and money wise, how did you? Where did you guys? Was it? Did it get expensive? Did it get?
Yeah.
Where did you get your funding?
Well,
I was
say,
very lucky because my shop was pretty much figured out, and the way I'm doing it is completely different to you. Is I went in with the shop how it is, and I'm every month just buying another thing for the shop and hoping in a year or two times it will be the vision I want it to be, you know, rather than getting a loan and forking that money out straight away.
Yes.
I'm just doing it slowly.
Yeah, well,
but, you know, but things don't always go the way you think as well. Like my biggest struggle is I opened the shop. My plan was, I didn't really have a business plan. So
you definitely were winging it.
I'm winging it. So like my plan in my head was get a barber's week month two and then from there, you know, just go with it.
Yeah.
And I work 6 days a week because I want to keep the shop hours. We're open 6 days. So I work the whole 6 weeks holidays, got to the end of the month, started looking for someone. Month two, still haven't got anyone. So now I'm burning out. So I'm, you know, 2 months in working 6 days a week. And then luckily, like I said, like I did have someone come through. They weren't as confident as they kind of made out. So, you know, after a few weeks, they left. And then luckily, like I said, Tom from Diligence passed me someone through and he's come through. And now it's kind of like, much better. Like, now I can breathe and I can actually look back and go, right, what's not good and what's good? You know, I know you said you're good with numbers. I'm terrible with numbers.
I've not set this place up to rely on barbers.
Yeah.
That's literally where it was. So my main thing was making sure that I can sort everything out by myself without any barbers. So that's really what I was, in a sense, bouncing. Yes, to bouncing around, getting the business plan ready and actually getting the loan. And just buying everything out. But I was lucky. I got a very, very good loan at a low interest rate, in a sense. And that's the only, if I'll be honest, that's the only reason why I took it. But it was really on the basis of, can you make this work by yourself? Not getting barbers in on it. And that's why I've been able to take my time and not just, I'm in a rush to get barbers in to make more money. No, I didn't want that. I wanted to know that I can do this myself. And the guys that I do get in, they're working with me, but they know they're working with a barber's barber owner, in a sense. This guy's going to be in there every day grinding just like me. You know what I mean? And that's really what I want to show them. I'm not trying to be the kind of overseer of barbers, in a sense. No, I don't want to be that.
You want to lead by example.
Yeah, I want to lead by example. I've got a team that we're doing the same thing. Everyone's kind of a specialist. That's my view. Everyone's a specialist in their own right, in what they do. Obviously, I do design and I'm more arty kind of guy, creative. And then I'm looking for other specialists that have got different fields that I don't do. So you can be unique in your own right. And that's really what I'm looking for in my business, is a uniqueness, a multiculturalness, and that you can come here and just get any style done. And there's a community energy sense, a friendly banter. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's really what I'm looking for.
I feel like the same, to be honest. Yeah. I think it's the same kind of thing for me as well.
I think probably, I don't know, maybe about 4 years ago, I started seeing more and more inclusive barbers.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, that word was definitely hung on a lot of barbers' neck. And then when we started doing this, a lot of the people we spoke to were talking about being inclusive. It seems like it's not, it happens more. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That you guys, when we last met, you were talking about the fact that you'd both traded skills about hair textures and hair types and taught each other a little bit. So you both felt very confident with any type of hair.
Definitely.
Well, it's that whole thing about hair has no gender, that kind of campaign, a couple of years ago. It's like, I had long hair, like we were saying earlier. I would have to go, 15 years ago, I'd have to go to a hairdresser to get that cut. I wouldn't be able to go to a barbershop, right? So it's like, it's that kind of thing.
Was that a haircut, was it?
Yeah. so it's kind of just blending everything together, I think, like, and being able to do everything.
I feel like that's the barber now, though.
Yeah.
I think the nowadays barber is a hybrid now. I don't see... Well, if you're trying to elevate in the barbering, I feel like you have to be a hybrid.
Well, the hairdressers in my town, I know most of them can't use clippers. Yes, so like you wouldn't be able to go to a skin phase in some of the hairdressers in Guildford, for example. But you can go to Diligence or my shop, for example, and anyone can go there and get a haircut.
Yes.
But it's like, so we're actually open to more of the barber industry. Like,
no, but it's what I'm saying.
More open to the
hairdressers. I feel like barbering is, as a barber, you're more hybrid now, where you've got way more hairdressing. We've got more hairdressing techniques than the hairdressers got barbering techniques.
Yes. Yes. That's
just where the mix is now. And I like what you said, it's made it where anyone can go into the barbershop now more than you can when you go into a hairdresser's. Yeah. I get so much women coming here for haircuts. I'm talking about just scissor cuts, scissor cuts.
Well, I think there's a big dearth in the kind of hair industry itself, the hairdressing industry, that a lot aren't good with short hair.
Yeah.
Period. No. Whether it's men or women.
Yeah.
But nice to know at our age, mate, you can still attract the women to your to your lair. but I think that's great that that's a level of inclusivity that's definitely different, that you're going cross-gender as well as
Definitely. I feel like as barbers, we have to kind of break the mold.
You have to adapt.
We have to break the mold. I don't feel like staying in, and it's all good to stay in your realm. I'm not disrespecting that, but I feel like to elevate, You've got to come out
look,
of
if
your...
If you're in the bar, if you're in the hair game just to make money, I understand why you might just want to be a barber. Right?
I feel.
If you actually love cutting hair and have a passion for it, why wouldn't you want to cut everyone?
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to talk to you about something really important. Our podcast here is more than just about the industry, the barbershop, and the life therein. It's about the community that we built. And in the time we've been doing this podcast, the community has been amazing and we've loved it. Now we're looking for you to get involved and become an essential part of our future. We're seeking long-term, mutually beneficial opportunities for partnership to come on board and help spread our message, to connect with our community, to help grow it, to keep the message strong, and to keep hearing and discussing these amazing topics that we do with all our guests. If you think your brand is the right brand for us, if you want to get in touch, please email me at thenoblebarberpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. It'd be really good to talk to you. We'd love you to be part of our future. Okay, and now back to the episode. Can I just steer it back to the fact, because it does amuse me that I was in Guildford last week and we just took a little drive up and down here trying to find a parking space. You two are the new bloody bar, another barbershop. You're the next bar, another one. Oh, another barbershop that's turned up.
So the blessing for
you're
me
the
is...
You're the money launderers, are you now, you two? Is that what you're...
Well, the nice thing for me is being a shop that was already established and I've just come in and taken that over. So the people in the community don't look at me like I'm a new barber that's just opened up. You know?
But
like,
saying that, you are... And a lot of people do say it because when I first opened, I think it was like the first 2 weeks, and there's a lady that lives around the corner, she walks past and... You said exactly the same thing. Like, bloody hell, another barbershop. And she goes, we need a bakery. Right? And I was just like, but I'm not the same. You know what I mean? I just like, we're not the same as, and I get it. I literally sat down with her in the front and I said it. I get it. It looks like that. But we're offering complete different services and we're kind of trying to appeal to everybody, not just one type, you know, one Turkish, you know, it's everyone we're trying to appeal to, and ladies too. And she was like, oh, okay. And she was getting, she was kind of, so I feel like on the face, barbershop, but, you know.
But there are different, I mean, the barber, you know, and it may take a few more years for it to kind of find itself, but there definitely feels like there's still a place for the barbers, you know, what you would, you know, pre-change of the last decade, there's still those barbers that you go into, you know,
have that traditional
side. A proper traditional, do it well, in and out, done.
Yeah.
And then you've obviously got the hairdressing salons. You know, the group that you guys are living in is this new hybrid.
It's the modern barber.
Which I don't know if it's still, it's not quite separated into...
It's not its own separate thing yet, is it?
Do you know what I mean? Barbers are still, it's barbers.
Yes.
Which is why when you walk down the street, you see six barbers, you're like, oh, it's got to be a money launderer.
Whereas
if you walk down the street and there's six estate agents, you don't think that.
Yeah,
because there's an estate agent that does letting, there's an estate agent that sells the most of the flats.
There's
someone who sells the big houses. Do you know what I mean? There's some,
and it's kind of going what you were saying then in the fact that you know,
kind of diversity of industry.
A bit different, isn't it?
No, so that's, like, I feel that's what it is at the end of the day. And I feel like, like what you're saying, the modern barber, I feel like the modern barber now, these, like the new guy, he's doing everything. You're doing Afro, you're doing European, you're doing facials, you're doing massages.
And it'll be a time
game. It's just part of the parcel of it.
I imagine it'll be a time game though, because obviously...
No, it is definitely...
Like eventually people will get used to these kind of barbershops and then they'll step away from those shops, but which, you know...
I feel like it is. Right now, I'm changing the narrative right now in what I'm doing here. And we get a lot of Afro guys coming in and they're getting facials and they're not used to it.
Yeah.
They're not used to getting face themes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're sitting down and they're like, I need this. I need this in my life. And I've got guys coming on a Sunday now, like older guys, 50, 60, you know, the older guys, and they're just coming for a bald head and a steam.
Yeah.
Just because it relaxes them.
Yeah. You told me you know wasn't what I mean? Say
no,
that,
no, no, but it, no, but this
is talking about me.
And the steam, but that's it.
No. Yeah.
And they're really appreciative of that. Like, just I can come somewhere and actually just relax
for a little bit,
you know what I mean? And chill. And I feel like That's what's needed a lot, man. I feel like definitely just to come somewhere, get your hair cut, you can relax.
And
I've always thought it's a
big
thing.
People like coming into the shop, you know. If you've got to go for a spa day, or you want to come in here and get a, you know.
Again, if you're in a community, like what I said, that community energy.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, like what you said, a spa day, but you're with, you know, Tom or Jerry that you met last week for the last 3 months, and we've been talking about Liverpool and Arsenal or whatever, you know, it's just that vibe. And I feel like, yeah, I don't
it
really know a lot
quite,
of people.
I mean, yeah, we talk about that kind of safe space, but it's, you know, the barbershop, it still feels like a place that, as a guy, you feel very comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of guys would walk into a hairdressing salon and feel like you know, they'd walked into the kind of lingerie department
And you're worried about what the next
because you feel so
and...
uncomfortable.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I
yeah.
agree.
And even with mine, because I've got salons and I've got barbershop. I've got mates that are like, oh no, I don't like getting me. I don't like getting my hair cut when there's loads of women getting their
foils hair washed
done.
And like,
yeah.
Whereas they'll all come to our barbers, and I do think there's, you know, not a complete division, but it's just nice that I think there is that space.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely, man. I feel like it's needed in men's barbering. Like what I said, I do cater to women, but I do believe that there's we need an outlet as men anyway, you know, mental health and all of that. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the week for a man, you know.
Well, the amount of conversations we all have in our shops. I mean, you know, we're counsellors to a certain, not counsellors,
just what it is.
Psychotherapists to a certain degree, you know, like. It's...
Again, and it goes, rolls back again to the community, and you deal with a lot of people time and day in, day out, and you don't want to see the people that you're looking after really be going down anyway.
Yeah,
well, let's be honest, you know, you want them to be up. And I'm that sort of person where my energy's always up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to push my energy on you and you push up, you know what I mean? So especially if I see you down, you know, I'm definitely going to be like, oh, come on now, let me give you a steam, let me give you a, make you feel a bit better. And I feel that's my job too. It's not just cutting hair, it's actually to make you feel better. So,
but you came into it, you had a very clear idea that when you set up yours, you know, you had a very kind of strong vision of this is what I want to do. I want to offer this. I want to offer that.
Definitely.
I want to be in my neighbourhood.
No, definitely.
You had this kind of very long tick list that hit off. And now you're seeing you're doing it.
No,
as
definitely.
You said, you're kind of, you know, you're still.
I'm winging
you're still,
it.
You're still completely.
My main thing, the one thing
but
I want is community.
It's
community,
it's the
right?
Thing.
So
it's
the guy
the
making
thing.
My uniform, which we haven't even got yet, is a local clothing brand.
Mm.
I've got a local tattooist in. I give discounts to all the local restaurants. Mm. All my flyers are in their shops. Mm. I'm working with coffee shops. So for me, it's just about other local businesses helping them out. Sharing their work on my platform, etc. And then it's community is the main thing for me. So I think everything comes under that, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
definitely.
But
I
so
agree.
Much comes from the fact that you've both had, 10, 20, I say 30.
Yeah, 30.
Year career.
Yeah.
And you've had all those experience in there that you've managed to make that decision. You go, no, if I'm doing it, I want to buy the uniforms local. I want to know the guy who's making it rather than going on Temu and waiting for China to bung it over to you.
Well, he's
and,
my client as well, do you know what I mean? So it's more of a business deal.
Even
he's getting free haircuts when I'm getting free, a discount on uniform.
That's
and
what's
like,
so nice about that. Mm. Yeah, and the barbershop being the hub of a community.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when during COVID we did some films and stuff where we talked about the kind of, you know, how nice it is to kind of serve the community and be part of that. The amount of guys that drop into me and go, Tony, you don't know anyone that does. Yellow Pages or Google. Sorry. Sorry. Luke's looking at me like, Yellow Pages?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we're like, everyone wants that recommendation because they know we know everybody.
Yeah.
But now, as owners, does that feel different? I'm still kind of interested as to why you're not working out of a shed in your garden.
Me, I've always thought, for me, this was the natural progression. Like, I've already done the studio thing, and I was still, there was still more.
Yeah.
It didn't
feel like you had a proper bite.
No, it didn't. Yeah, exactly. I didn't feel like I had a proper. And now with the shop, this is it. I know this is it. I feel it in myself and it's where I want to be. And I've always been in other barbershops. Most of you guys know, I know most of you guys know, I'm the energy for the shop.
That's how it always is. When I leave, the energy's kind of dropped.
Right,
and everyone's like, oh, you left, man, you know. Wanted the banter for the football. Or you always play the best music or, you know, that kind of thing. So now that I've got my own place, it's like I'm implementing that energy that I was always bringing to other barbershops, to my own barbershop now. And then I've got customers coming, oh, I love you are, and I love the energy in this place. And I've realized as sometimes it's not the shop, it's the shop, but it's the barbers that you've got in the shop. And if you've got the right, I've been in a few barbershops and the energy was just perfect between three or four barbers. And customers come in there and they've seen us bouncing off each other. And they're like, oh, I just love being in there and getting a haircut. And I feel when you get that right balance of barbers, that's the key right there. And that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that right balance. But obviously, I'm trying to change it with being multicultural. So I already know it's going to be a very fine line, but I'm going to find it.
It comes with time, I think, doesn't it? Like I said, I honestly believe I could have opened a shop 10 years ago. I don't think it would have been as good as now.
Yeah.
But my priorities then, I would have kept it because my priorities were partying, traveling, having fun. I wouldn't have done it. Like I would have stuck it out for a year and then probably given it up. And for me, it was having children and a family that I suppose for me was like, well, I've got to actually be grounded. I'm here anyway. I'm grounded with my kids. I want something for them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think for me, it was like, I've just got to grow up a little bit, I suppose.
But you've had so much more, I mean, you know, with respect, you've had much more kind of manager skill.
Definitely than me.
Well, I used to manage a shop. I used to manage a barbershop before that as well. So previously, before that, I worked for a guy called Pedro, and he just opened a shop. He spoke barely any English, and he was just like, "Look, can you come and help me run this place?" Yeah. And I, you know, that's still running. They've got seven barbers there now, and that's really well. So, like, I've always wanted to do it, but I think it was just I wanted to travel and have fun, and then, you know, I had children, and that changed everything. So, so I think now it's just changed my... I was selfish before I had children, and you know, I wanted to do everything, I was me first, so...
I don't think... My discipline weren't great. If I say 15 years ago, I was terrible. So I don't think...
I'd have been opening the shop late and things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It would have been that situation.
That's the same as me. My punctuation, I feel like... Even my people's skills weren't the best. There was a lot of my own development that I had to do.
Yeah, self-development,
Before I got here. And even that, there was a lot... If I would say 15 years ago, I wasn't as hungry or passionate about the game. You know what I mean? Where I would say in the last 10 years, my passion for the game's just been like tenfold.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm trying to achieve. And I've always had an itch feeling that I've done this. And then I'm like, okay, on to the next. Let's go. And, you know what I mean? Since I've had this shop, I don't feel the same as that same itch. Yeah. It's more, okay, we need to develop new barbers. Or I want to push the brand more. It ain't really about me again.
I always say it, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but you know, I always think, you know, enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Because you will get to the destination, and maybe that's where you found yourself.
Yeah, I feel that's what it was.
You know,
you've
been the journey.
Because even the last
and
podcast,
now you've found yourself.
I was like, there was still, I still had the angst. Like, I'm like, what am I looking for?
Yeah.
What am I really? And yeah, I'm doing the competitions. I'm a champion and whatever. But I'm still, there's still something else. There, you know what I mean? And
sorry, I did miss that. Obviously, I'm in the presence of champions.
Yeah.
But last time we spoke, you definitely had imposter syndrome running through you.
Like I still got it now.
As an owner, is that less?
Yeah, as an owner, and I won that award 2 weeks ago. And immediately, although it's great, I do feel a bit like, I'm not pushing out too much. I feel a bit like there's plenty of barbers out there that are amazing. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'm the best barber in the UK. Do you know what I mean? I know that's not what it means. But definitely, always. I can't believe I've even got my own shop, if I'm being honest. I wake up and I'm like, how the hell is that? How have I got here? Do you know what I mean? But again, I think for me, it was just settling down with a family is a thing that, maybe could set the shop up and get
it
ready.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh,
Two months in? Love it. 4 months in?
I'm honestly loving it. And I know what, I've been doing crazy hours, if I'll be honest. Yeah. I've been doing crazy hours. I'm here from like
and everyone's
8:30.
Saying you're going to burn yourself out.
Yeah,
and
that's
again,
what
I'm being told
that's
the same
exactly
like, every
the
week.
Same
like,
thing.
I'm like,
8:30.
I love it though, so I don't feel there is a burnout.
That's what I feel. Yeah. And I feel the way I've set this place up, if I be honest, so this was me and my girlfriend was having a laugh about it. It's an extension of my front room. That's how it feels.
Right, so like on that, you know, this is bad. I've spent a few days after hours in my shop eating my dinner and just chilling for an hour before I go home.
I do that all the time. But before that, I've never done that.
Yeah, in someone else's shop. But now I'm like, this is mine. I'm going to have dinner here. I'm going to chill for a little bit before I go home. You know,
I'm always in a rush to get home. I'll get the day done. I'm like, man, I'm off. I'm out of it. Oh, well, I ain't got no more customers. I'm gone. I'm out of it. Now, like what you said, I've sat here for 2, 3, 4. I've even sat here. I finished at 8 the other day and I didn't leave here till about 11:30.
Yeah.
I was plotting, like literally sitting. I was watching the TV, watching a few fights, and not eating food.
You don't mind it then? Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
I think that's it. You know, it does feel, you know, there is something very special about sitting around and looking around, kind of going, man, I got it.
That's it.
Guys, thank you very much. I think that comes to the end of part one.
Nice.
Mate, I'm going to repeat myself, but it's lovely listening to these two. Enjoy the journey. The destination will come, whether you've planned it or if you haven't. We've been The Noble Barber. Thank you very much. Welcome to The Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. And we'll see you next time.